Blast the four, because there's lots of love in the Octave Community Studios right now. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Lorenzo Alexander is filling in for Wolf. And Zo, I love you. I'm glad you're here. Oh, but you got to hit the red button. Yeah, there you go.
They've been doing it for me all day. I'm sorry. I got lazy.
I've gotten lazy. I was so good at the beginning of the show, and yeah, I stopped doing it.
I looked at it a couple of times. It's already hit.
Oh, yeah, so you're good.
But I've been trying to. Obviously, I've kind of been in and out. Got this whole CBA stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, just the CBA.
So my phone is blowing up.
No big deal. So.
Only the future of football in America in the hands of Lorenzo Alexander. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. I'm glad you're tuned in. And we're going to talk Archie Bradley, but I will tell you something that just happened, so you know, and because I want your opinion on it. And for those of you that don't know, Zo has a lot of leather-bound books, okay? He's a big deal. And that is, if you didn't know, Lorenzo Alexander is still technically a Bills linebacker. He's still got three more weeks in the league year before you're retired. And you're on the executive council of the Players Association. So he's been walking in and out sometimes on phone calls because either today or tomorrow, and you'll know better than me if it's officially going to happen today, the player reps are voting on the deal.
Right.
Is that going to happen today or tomorrow?
We're having some phone calls today.
Right
so
now?
It could be pushed. I don't know. But you know, so the plan is that hopefully today we'll have some type of decision.
Now,
I don't know how to put
this. Oh, yes. Well done, Barry.
But I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
So Zo does not have, this is kind of weird, you have a vote when the players vote. You don't have a vote because you're not a team rep, but you're on the executive council, so everybody's getting your opinion or kind of talking to you, bouncing off of ideas, right?
Because the EC in this process has been probably more involved than anybody else as far as actually being in the room with the owners, and being constantly informed and being updated by our staff. And I think also just naturally have been a veteran in this league and having some perception or perspective because I was in the last deal, going through this one, and then just counseling some wisdom. And so just talking it out as far as everything, because it is a big decision because you're not just dealing, you're just not negotiating your own contract. You're essentially negotiating a contract for 2,000 guys and their families, and you're trying to make the best decision. And so I mean, it's just a hard thing, and you know, so trying to take yourself out of it and trying to make the best decision for all of our men collectively.
Well, first of all, sorry to do this to Maloney and those of you nice enough to listen. Let's throw you a curveball. Archie Bradley won his arbitration case, and let's get into that next. So in about 5 minutes, we'll tell you all about what's happening baseball-wise. Let's stay on this football situation. Here is Adam Schefter yesterday.
We're going to get more regular season weeks. We're going to get more postseason games, more wild card action, and what do the players get? An increase in their percent of the revenue. Now, right now, the NFL players get 47% of the current revenue under the terms of the new deal. It will be 48% for 16 games and 48.5% for a 17-game season.
I've never asked you this, but can you reasonably validate Adam Schefter's report? Does that, as a guy on the executive council, sound about right?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more detailed than that, but yeah, that's okay. That's about right.
So as it stands right now, John Clayton sent out a tweet, and we love John Clayton on this show, and JC said, right now, just reading the tea leaves, it appears the players won't vote for this. He didn't say who he's talked to or anything like that. And when you say players, he was generic. So I don't know if he means it passes the player reps and the rank and file vote or it doesn't even pass the player reps.
You really don't know, but obviously the loudest voices so far, especially on social media, I mean, you have this thing.
Like J.J. Watt said
J.J. Watt, no, and he hasn't helped out at all as far as let's give us some ideas to help us and push us in the right way. You know, you're a big name. Help us get your owner on board as far as what we really want, right? So the loudest voices have often been a no. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's mainly because of the 17th game. And so I don't know if J.J. Watt or some of the other guys, I know some of them are really into it, right? Mm-hmm. They know what's going on. But do you know the entire deal? So most people just pick out one or two things within the deal that may impact them significantly and just say, no, I don't want to do it, and don't take a holistic approach. And so that is the key as far as what I've been saying all day is trying to get our guys to understand the whole picture. And if you understand the whole picture and still say no, cool. And if that's what our men want to do collectively, on a understanding the entire picture, cool. Then we'll continue this process. Obviously, I don't know if the owners would still negotiate until after expiration, but we'll deal with that new reality if we get to that point.
It sounds like the deal, the way I have read it, it's going to be hard to think you'll get one better. So I totally understand saying, no, we're not accepting game 17.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you might have a work stoppage if you vote no. Do you get that feeling right now, or is this all posturing?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, obviously, it's always all about posturing
and trying
to create leverage. And I don't know if we would, because that still would mean, okay, the next year, let's say that we don't negotiate until after expiration, which is 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have from March until whenever the season starts, similar to the last situation.
Where all you did was miss the Hall of Fame game. Didn't miss any other games.
Right, and we missed offseason and training camp.
Right.
So you didn't miss any games. And so I don't know if there'll necessarily be a work stoppage. There may be the sense of, well, either the players are striking or the owners are locking them out.
Right, right.
But I don't know if we'll ever miss any games. But we would have to see once we get to that point. But it probably would go all the way to the end to, mm-hmm, like, all right, now you're actually missing something. This is a real deadline, not an artificial one that we've kind of implemented because of maybe TV deals or maybe because we want to get something done early.
You're going to know this better than me, but for those of you that are wondering what's in this deal, it's no missed games anymore for marijuana, a reduction on the number of players that are being tested for marijuana, and the only way you really miss a game based on marijuana has everything to do with being arrested for something to do with marijuana, and the testing is only at the beginning of the preseason. So as long as you like put it down in July, you're probably going to be okay for the most part.
And that's part of the deal. That's not like something that we were out seeking. I think ownership even realized, okay, marijuana is being passed in different states.
Yep.
And so let's make this thing where it's more of a just doing it versus us trying to get guys caught up in something that's already legal nationally. And if a guy does test positive on this, that means he has a underlying issue of being maybe abusive with marijuana use. So let's get him help.
Okay.
But that wasn't like, oh, we got to get this in this deal.
There's also you'll get more union members. It looks like you're going to go to a 55-man roster. Than a 53-man roster. This is all stuff I've read. Feel free to jump in and say, no, you're dead wrong, because I'm not saying I was involved in it. You're going to have a 5-day acclimation period. So instead of, okay, training camp starts, and instead of day 3, you got pads on. Now it's not till day 5.
Right.
Only 16 padded practices in camp. And if they want to do the joint practice, go ahead. But you can only have 4 of those practices total throughout training camp. 3 preseason games. And one thing you guys have really been fighting for, it looks like you get, unless Roger Goodell says this is involved in the integrity of the game, which is basically Deflategate.
Right.
Anything else, he can still suspend like normal. But you get a neutral arbitrator if you want to take it that far.
Correct.
And that's probably one of the biggest things that you guys have been fighting for a while, right?
Right. Yeah, that was probably one of the sticking points where we had a couple of teams last time vote no for the deal was because because Roger obviously had too much power in placing punishments on certain guys in the league.
So there's a lot of aspects of this deal that you don't like, but as a member of the executive council, you're kind of leaning that this is, I guess, I don't know if fair is the right word, but.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, fair is subjective, right?
Yeah,
it's
all
about
yeah.
where you stand and how you perceive it. And so I think we've made a lot of movement in certain areas. Is it perfect? No. Will it be criticized? Yes, just because you can't make everybody happy and everybody thinks they could do better negotiating against billionaires when that's really not true. So, but. I think we've moved in the right direction. The biggest thing is that, especially for players, right? We operate in a world where it's always you either win or you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And a CBA is very gray. And the only thing that when I look at it from a player with that mindset is 17 games. They won in that area. I look at our side. We've moved incrementally, but we really didn't truly get anything that we absolutely just wanted and asked for.
And I
think that's always a different perspective outside. And I will say one area we did increase our revenue share and then the way it operates.
There's still some other points left on the table. So let's get to that at 9:30. But next, Archie Bradley did something that not a lot of players are able to do. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Okay. As anybody knows, When it comes to free agency, what's number one? Money. What's number two? Money. What's number three? Money. All right? The players earned it. They've sacrificed waiting through the minor leagues, being on minor league bus trips. Archie Bradley told us yesterday, or no, it was Alex Young told us yesterday about being in a hotel with bugs and running off and going to, and they said there was, he said there was, we don't know what it was on the sheets. Zoe almost spit out his coffee on that one. So they upgraded, this is the funniest thing ever, they upgraded to a Holiday Inn Express. Him and his roommates said, okay, we're out of here.
Right.
And he crazy. Called it a Motel 8. So I didn't know if he meant Super 8 or Motel 6 or somebody just came up with a title of their motel that was a one-stop place in Iowa. But it was funny. So that's what it's like. So you finally get to the big leagues. You finally get to be a free agent. It's going to be about money, and you've earned it.
Right.
But I want you to hear this story from Archie Bradley yesterday, because this is also one of those things where somebody would say, okay, if dollars are pretty close, maybe I want to become a Diamondback, because Archie Bradley was talking about arbitration. And if you don't know about arbitration in Major League Baseball, it's just terrible. It is you in a room. Imagine you right now, and your boss comes in, and after 3 years of telling you all that you need to do to be a good team player, and all you've done is sacrifice for the good of the team, and now in your personal review that determines if you get a big raise, he goes up in front of some arbitrator who doesn't know you at all,
right,
and tells you why you stink and everything you've done that's negative, and he gives stats for your performance that you sacrificed to make sure the team did well.
Right.
That's what happens in arbitration, and yet Archie Bradley just went through that and said this about the Diamondbacks.
As I said, I have matured, so I understand this process that I just went through, and I understand the business side of sports. You know, as much as you want to be personal and friendly with guys, there is a business aspect to what's going on. And I think if you don't understand that from the get-go, you're kind of naive and you weren't informed correctly. But I do have to give a shout-out to the front office of the Diamondbacks. Mike Hazen, Jared Porter, Omniel. I mean, I know it sucks to go in there and have to go through that, but the way they handled it, I talked to other players even this year that went through it, and their GMs, they weren't in the room with them. Those three guys sat in there. They looked me in the eyes. They shook my hand. As difficult of a process as it was, I think that's where you have to mature and understand this is a business, and there's business decisions that have to be made. And it was as simple as, I'm going to fight for what I think my value is, and they have a value that they can't pay over that. And it was as simple as that.
I've 25 years I've been in media because I couldn't hit a curveball. I wanted to play baseball. Okay, I couldn't. I've never heard a player do that. I've never heard a player go through arbitration and compliment the front office. For you, as a still player slash soon-to-be former player in 3 weeks, what does that say to you about an organization when you hear that?
That they understand how to do business, you know, in a way where it doesn't come across as, we don't care about you now. And I mean, they've built a relationship with this guy. And so oftentimes when you go into arbitration or anything, to, you know, contract negotiations, a lot of people seem to turn face for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But obviously the organization, Mike Hazen, and the people that are in the front office, I think they hold true to who they are. They're probably some great people. For you able to go through something like that to where you're talking negatively, in a sense, mm-hmm. as far as a player trying to devalue him, and he comes out actually respecting you, you have a sense of who you are, and you're not going to walk away from that line just because you're working for an organization and trying to get the best deal for yourself. You conduct your business in the best way and then get dirty or nasty in that process. You just handled yourself at a high level, and you were actually in that room. You didn't hire somebody else to come and do your dirty work, which mm-hmm. often happens, or hire somebody that's on the staff but doesn't really hold any power. You're just giving them the message through them and kind of hiding behind them. And so when a man can step up and look at my face and be respectful in doing his job, you have nothing but to be respectful, because you understand the business of professional sports.
That's Lorenzo Alexander filling in for Wolf today, former Bills linebacker, Cardinals linebacker. What I love about what you said, and what you'll be really impressed with is, in this situation, baseball-wise, this is a big deal for the sport and for the players in general. Archie Bradley won that arbitration hearing. And the way baseball arbitration works is, the player says, this is what I'm worth.
Right.
The owner says, / GM says, this is what you're worth. And there's no middle ground. The arbitrator either chooses the player's number or the owner's number. And Archie Bradley won. And the reason why this is a big deal is, when you talk about sacrifice, closers are judged by basically one thing. saves.
Right.
Did you finish the game or not? And Archie, through most of his career, has been a bounce around guy. The Diamondbacks use him as in a way that says, wow, we think this jam we're in right now in the seventh inning is going to do more to determine whether or not we win than the three outs in the ninth inning.
Right.
So we're going to pitch you now.
Yep.
Or, you know what, the ninth inning's the biggest. We're going to pitch you now. But it's only been the last couple weeks of last year where it was official, you're the closer, even though we're not going to use that title. They didn't want to call him closer. But you're the guy, and you're going to get the last three outs, and that's it.
Yeah.
So for a guy that really did sacrifice for the team to not have the stats to back up his production – and yet be given the win in arbitration, that is a case where a guy did what was best for the team and got paid for it.
Yeah, because he took it out of the team's hands. As you said, the team likes to classify you in a position that is obviously less valuable, right? Transitional. You're not the closer or the starter.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a transitional guy. Yeah. You know, you're a special teams guy with rotational ability. You know, they don't want to say, oh, you are a defensive end to get sacks. They're going to try to find the way to devalue the best way, which is part of the business, right? Because you're trying to get the best talent for the cheapest product. And if you're any type of business owner or have done anything like that, that's what you're going to try to do, right? Get the best product.
It's funny you bring it up. I don't know why they did. I would hate to say they didn't want to call him closer because we don't want to name you closer going into arbitration. I was thinking, and I'm kind of making this up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more of a head game because Archie did struggle when he was called the quote-unquote closer at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I think they were thinking, let's not even worry about a title. We're all adults here. He's pitching the last three outs of the ninth inning. Why do we have to say the word closer for you to not know he's our closer? But at the same time, they still didn't want to say it.
Yeah, but he knows it.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows what his job is, right? He knows what his role is on the team. So whether or not you put that next to his name on the roster, he understands what his job is going to be out there, whether it's in the seventh inning or in the ninth inning as he developed into as far as closing the game out and shutting the other team down.
I'm fine to tell you, I'm an Archie Bradley fan. I don't like players that talk to the media when things are good and don't talk to the media when they're bad. Either talk or don't talk. I don't care.
Yeah.
But once you've established this is who you are, then you keep going.
Yep.
He talks no matter how successful or he is or how many times he fails, always is there, always talks. And even when fans started to turn on him because he really struggled last year at times, he didn't turn on them.
Yeah.
And I could understand why. We're all human. But he handled his business really well. I'm a big fan of his.
Professional.
Professional. That's the word I should have said instead of having a wolf moment where I just kept talking. Supercuts is the official hairstylist of Major League Baseball. With the 2020 season right around the corner, they'll be giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to see the first day game of the year. It's D-backs Wednesday, April 1st against the San Francisco Giants. Text CUT to 620-620. Coming up next, it's pretty cool when we have a member of the executive council live in studio in the middle of CBA negotiations. Who is Lorenzo texting right now? Let's find out next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We got a couple different things to talk about here. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And I'm just going to go rifling through a whole bunch of different things that we haven't gotten to, but I think the number one thing on the table is the CBA. And if you have not heard, the owners, as of Wednesday, did not have an owners meeting on Wednesday morning. And then Wednesday afternoon, it was basically owners get here to New York. And then the owners met Thursday, and they said they voted, but not unanimously, to accept the proposal that both sides have in their hands, the NFL and the NFLPA. Now, whenever they say it wasn't unanimous, I can't tell you what that means, because it means one of two things. All the normal owners voted yes, and Mike Brown of the Bengals voted no. So it could be 31-1, because Mike Brown is just not good as an owner, and it's just life. And that's why any player that holds out from the draft, I really get angry at, and I think holier than thou, who are you? Right. All these other players have gone through the process. Why do you think you don't have to? I still feel like that about Eli Manning. I won't feel like that about Joe Burrow because it's the Bengals. The Bengals aren't NFL, so it's okay if you do it to the Bengals.
I hear you.
So I will be a hypocrite for Joe Burrow to say, hey, you don't have to do it to Cincinnati. It's okay. But you have the owners voting on it, and now they've accepted it. So step two. Player reps have to get a two-thirds of a vote. Lorenzo Alexander is not a player rep, but you're on the executive council that has been part of getting the deal to where it is,
right?
That you are presenting now to the players and to their player reps. The reps are supposed to have talked to enough of their constituents to kind of have an idea what they think and either vote for them or vote how they think, and their fellow players just follow along. How do you think it's going? I mean, I know you've been on the phone a lot.
I mean, I'm just texting today? guys that are reps, guys that aren't reps, just trying to inform guys. And like you said, my hope is that a lot of the reps have been talking to their guys on their team, young, old, guys in the middle, because this deal is impacts everybody a little bit differently. And so you have to get everybody's input, essentially, and then take all that and then make a decision that you think is best for the men. And so whether that's yes or no, you gotta put something down on that paper, And so that has been that's always hard because you have 53 guys, and there's no way I'm going to call 53 guys on my team and talk to everybody, especially in the offseason. It's hard. It'd be great if this was during the season.
Yeah.
You can bring everybody into the room and kind of talk through all the points and then have open dialogue. And so right now you're just trying to identify maybe three or four guys in each group.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, just try to make a decision best for your team.
For those of you listening, I hope you feel this is as cool as I do, that a real member of the executive council of the Players Association is live in studio talking to us about what's going on. But just so you're aware, the old deal expires at the end of this coming season.
Correct, 2021.
And therefore, there's no chance of a work stoppage now unless the players like go on strike in the middle of the year or something. But there's nothing going on that stops football for this year. One of the real hardcore interesting things about what's going on, though, from a football standpoint, coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks, Steve Keim could use the franchise tag and the transition tag.
Right.
Never before have you had this situation that you can use both. But for teams that are planning on doing that, if the players vote yes on this deal, as part of the deal, the owners are going to scratch the old deal and give you the money you're looking for now. It comes into the cap, goes up, and the new deal takes over. But the new deal is the same as the old deal as far as franchise and transition tag. So if you're going into this offseason thinking I can use both tags, and the players vote yes this weekend on the new deal, you no longer can use both tags. It changes just like that. So that actually affects personnel a little bit.
Yeah, and it does. And that's another thing that guys have to think about, right?
Yeah.
And so do you want the benefit of some of these things placed into 2020 season?
Mm-hmm.
And if you wait, then we won't get that. So that's why it's a lot of moving parts. You know, a lot of thought has to go into it, and it's just not a knee-jerk reaction. You want to make sure everybody has the big picture and not just look at things in a vacuum, 17 mm-hmm. games or the drug policy or whatever it may be, restrictions, things that may have changed positive or haven't for your given situation.
Well, I'm fascinated by this. My last question on it before we go to something else is, from even though there's no such thing as an unbiased opinion, from your unbiased opinion because of your knowledge of the situation, what player group is helped the most by this deal? The rookie, the veteran, the minimum wage veteran, the Larry Fitzgerald big time star GOAT type player? Who benefits the most?
I would say it would be your core player. And that's kind of always kind of hard to define, but that's a guy that is on a vet minimum deal. You know, the minimums have went up. They're going to benefit from the additional benefits that we get that nobody ever talks about. And so with those two components, I think those guys will probably benefit the most out of it. You know, some stuff with player performance is changed as well, where guys that are on those minimum deals that end up playing more time, including some of the rookies, will actually get a bigger bonus at the end of the year, the way we restructure some things. And so, you know, when you look at it, that's the core group. That's the 60% of the league that we talk about that are on minimum deals.
Yeah.
And so that's who will benefit the most. But if you know, so you know, unfortunately, a guy like in a Larry's position, they still have certain tags and restrictions, and they're not seeing anything probably contractually outside of a bump in the salary cap that they'll benefit from, obviously. But I think a lot of the nuances and the incremental moves that we were able to get moving forward probably benefits majority of our league, which is that 60%.
Well, Pulse calls up next, but thanks for being so open about some of this stuff. I know you had to tiptoe some of the time because some of this is highly off the record, but I think you did a great job of explaining to fans about what's going on. Coming up next, Pulse Call will create cow-on-cow crime. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is presented by Brooklyn Bedding. Order your mattress by three. Get it delivered today free.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no. It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, no, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Well, the only thing worse than Loverboy on a Friday.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
It's got to be the officiating in the Pac-12. And it's every stinking day of the week.
Right. They traveled. Now instead they're going to give him the basket and the foul.
I mean, come on!
How many calls last night were inexcusably bad?
Brutal!
Brace yourself, right?
Duarte traveled. They don't call it. Instead, the foul is called on Arizona State's Mickey Mitchell.
That foul on Mickey Mitchell. Oh, my gosh, Paul.
That was crazy. Yeah,
if you're Team Hurley, I mean, first you got to beat Maloney's 14th-ranked Ducks.
The Oregon
right.
Ducks.
Turns out that wasn't that tough. The bigger degree of difficulty was you got to beat the Zebras.
Bobby Hurley is incensed.
And then in just a couple of minutes after that atrocity.
Oh, my gosh. They're going to call a foul on Arizona State's Mickey Mitchell.
Again.
This is as bad as an officiated game as we've had all year, and this is a great crew.
Now, we commend Kyle Dodd for trying to be nice there.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, but that's the, I mean, what in the Sam name of Larry Scott's going on here?
Calls the foul on Mitchell.
That's awful. That is awful. That's embarrassing. Why do we have to go through this every game?
That's right. In fact, so we have all access audio. This is Doug watching the game last night. Play the clip. That's right. So everybody just settle down, stand down. We got this handled with the Sawed Off Shotgun of Sports Takes. And if only Paulie Pencilneck was packing that back in college when some guy named Lorenzo Alexander was raiding our frat parties.
They were scared we were going to take all their girls. I've had some run-ins with some of them frats. Close their doors on us.
It's true.
We just knock our way and get out the way.
Still not cool. Just not cool. I mean, just because we're not football players over here, right?
And one time at band camp?
I mean, we're just trying to have a frat party.
Who's getting wild tonight?
And what you have to understand, Doug, is right down from frat row. I mean, literally a football field away is the football stadium. It's right next door to frat row. And so you get all these big dudes, they work out, they get the testosterone going, and then they just stroll their way down frat row.
Who's got the largest arms in the world, brother?
Right? And these football players, they travel in packs.
And my wolf pack, it grew by one.
And we couldn't throw a stinking frat party without the football players just crashing uninvited.
Okay, the statute of limitations is over. So, Zoe, did you ever have a bunch of guys take a keg from a frat party?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. That's a no-brainer. And much more.
Yeah. We get this guy, get the bright light in his face, and we'll get a real confession around here. So, yeah. But, you know, I just make the rational decision, though, which still has me upright today, because I would decide.
Praying for my life.
Exactly. I just go ahead. But, Doug, you know, I think, and you can blame this on the booth right here.
Right.
You know, equal opportunity beatdowns when we hit this button.
Dude.
Factor.
Dude. So I missed this. Apparently.
So did I.
See, Zoe has plausible deniability. Apparently, he was outside the studio. Unlike raiding frat parties where he's totally guilty, he has nothing to do with this.
These important phone calls have been rolling in for Zoe all day today.
Yeah. There was a call you had, and it involved a dude factor moment, apparently.
Dude.
It was the very end of the Kyle Dodd interview. Let's all listen together for the first time. Play the clip.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to talk to you. Have a good trip on your next road trip and bring home a win against Oregon State.
All right, my man. I love you.
Love you too, mom friend. Boy, am I going to get ripped for saying that. You can go to, or thanks to,
dude.
That was bad.
Got a little sideways.
It went wrong.
Hashtag.
I think that was a setup.
Awkward.
I think Kyle said, well, listen, I mean, how many of you have to fight it if you're in a good marriage? And I'm kind of sucking up to my wife. If you're in a good marriage and you end the phone call, and you're just used to saying, all right, I love you too. And you just kind of mumble it. And all of a sudden, he said it. Like, it just started to come out.
Fact,
I think it was a setup.
In fact, it carried over. You knew you said it. Played the rest of the clip.
We're sponsoring the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. You can see I'm flustered now. Your family owned and operated dealership in Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti.
I think Kyle set me up for that.
I mean, just I know you guys did some road trips together. It reminds me of the scene from Good Will Hunting.
We had separate rooms, Paul.
Matt Damon, Robin Williams sitting on the park bench.
So what's this? Taster's choice moment between guys?
Yeah, it's, you know, maybe
this is really nice.
Taster's choice moment between dudes. It's all right, you know. I mean, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, love you, dear.
Yeah, you know, just own it.
It's time once again for
Don't wrap this up, Paul. It's 51.
Comprendo.
So, in the past, though, this show has gone viral for all the wrong reasons.
Because if we need to hug this thing out, guys, we can.
Yeah, there was that moment. Now, at a fast food restaurant, we have a headline, live local late breaking here.
Fired over a viral video. It shows a man taking a bath in Wendy's restaurant there in the sink.
What? An industrial sink right in the kitchen. And
shows a man taking a bath in Wendy's restaurant there in the sink.
Okay. It doesn't matter where. I just heard the words viral video bath.
Yeah.
Right. That's all bad.
And
right.
And this is no joke. And
no comprendo.
This is outside Grand Rapids, you know, and so this guy probably.
Aren't you from Grand Rapids?
No, Rob Fredrickson is, though. It's probably a buddy of Rob Fredrickson's here in the building. And, you know, the guy was...
This is going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the mentality. And then he jumped in the sink.
Some employees could be seen laughing as the shirtless man scrubbed himself in the kitchen sink. I can't believe this.
All right.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's not good. I mean, Hot Tub Time Machine does not need another sequel.
He said, it feels like a hot tub, guys.
Yeah. And, of course, when the boss found out...
Fired!
Not good.
Wendy's called this act here unacceptable.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. By the way, listen to the other news anchor crack wise at the end.
Wow.
Or if the sink was cleaned, they're just so...
Way too much soap in there.
Oh, Tom, please.
I don't know if those two are married, but they've been working together a long time because she's admonishing him.
What's the matter with you?
Right?
Yeah, they either don't get along or she's just sick of his crap.
Right.
That tone was fantastic.
Speaking of being sick of things, Sean Miller, can we leave now?
You can drive back to Phoenix.
Appreciate you.
Get out of here. Go home to mom.
Hey, don't mind if I do.
Dippity.
Zoe, you got a lot of time on your hands, you know? You're retired now. How about you pull my car around?
This has been another edition of Paul's Call.
Get off me.
Now kindly get off Paul.
I'm busy.
He's busy.
I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating. You know, it's wrong. They're messing with people's careers.
Nick Markakis, we're buying, dude.
Hit it.
Win or lose, we still lose, bud.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Stay frosty, Arizona.
Beep, beep.
Oh, dear.
Searing about a time. Elvis has just left the building.
It's Paul's Call.
Last question, though. Did you ever take a bath at a frat house?
No.
Okay.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
So my big takeaway from today's show is yesterday was the first time in my 25 years in media I heard somebody compliment a front office after arbitration. Today is the first time in my 25 years in the business where I've ever had a guy in studio with me that 5 minutes from now is getting ready to determine whether or not we still have football. That's never happened.
So I'm going to give big props to a longtime Doug and Wolf listener, a guy by the name of Jeff Orr out in Mesa. He's hanging it up today. He's retiring. He's been dealing with illness. He's got to devote full time to this illness now. Devoted listener, great dude, and we're just giving him an all-around ding to Jeff today.
Absolutely. To Jeff and anybody that's got a big surgical event going on, all of you are in our thoughts and prayers. Zoe, what's your big takeaway for today's show?
I don't really know. I've been on this call all day, so I've been CBA is on my brain.
Don't screw it up, Zoe. It's in your hands.
Yeah, but pray for me. I actually got to go to a doctor's appointment for workers' comp stuff from stuff I endured during playing football.
Wow,
so, you know, the 17th game, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Then why stop there? Let's go for 18 games. Bickley and Murata are up next.